Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would open your Bibles to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, we're going to be reading through verse 22 of chapter 4. And I hate to even stop there. As I've encouraged you before, read the whole book. It all flows together. But in Acts chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, and reading through the 22nd verse of chapter 4, this is the reading of God's Word. "One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, 'Look at us.' So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, 'Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk.' Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, 'Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent, then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from among his people. Indeed, all the prophets from Samuel on, as many as have spoken, have foretold these days. And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, "By what power or what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. "What are we going to do with these men?" they asked. "Everybody living in Jerusalem knows they have done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name." Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over 12 books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and is holding out his hand.
There are several key points I want to emphasize from this passage. First of all, this is one of many things that will happen in the book of Acts that give evidence that the risen Lord Jesus Christ is not only still alive, but still at work. Although he had ascended to the Father's right hand, by his Spirit, he is now working through his people. And so the apostles present more of the same problem that Jesus had presented for those who wanted to kill Jesus. You see, they succeeded in killing Jesus, but they couldn't keep him dead. He is stronger than death, and so he rose from the dead as conqueror over death, and now is alive and at work in the earth through his people. Jesus told his followers, "It is good for you that I go to be with the Father, because otherwise I couldn't send the Spirit." Now some of us feel like, oh no, if only we could see Jesus in his physical body at work. The fact of the matter is, we are in a position of advantage because Jesus, who is God with us, tells us now by his Spirit, "He that is with you shall be in you." And so when the Spirit comes, we are reminded it is Christ in us that is the hope of glory. So what has just happened very dramatically in this story is something that is confounding those who wanted Jesus dead. Evidence has just been given, an undeniable miracle shows Jesus is alive. They thought they got rid of him, but they couldn't. Jesus is alive. He's alive. He's real. And he is Lord. So, what happened here was a miracle that no one could deny. Even the enemies of Christ admitted, "We can't deny it." This was a story of a man who was 40 years old, and day after day after day after day, he was brought to the temple. He was put there by the gate called Beautiful in order to beg for alms. Everybody knew this guy. They had to walk past him in order to worship God. He was there all the time. They all recognized him. The crowds recognized him. The officials recognized him. This guy was part of the scenery. And lo and behold, now everything's changed. Because after decades of this guy being there begging, now he is running and jumping up and down and praising God, and everybody can look at him and see he is healed. What happened? Jesus is what happened. Now, some folks look at this and they say, okay, so why doesn't God do that today? Well, I would submit to you God does still do that today, but I would also submit to you Jesus went to and from the temple a lot of times, and this guy was still there after he had been crucified, raised to life, spent 40 days with his followers, and ascended back to the Father, and the Holy Spirit had been poured out, and Pentecost was now a memory, and this guy was still sitting there crippled. Because God does things his way in his time. And this guy was over 40 years old before he got his miracle. It's highly unlikely that this guy and Jesus managed to always miss each other. Right? Especially because he was crippled and Jesus was well known. And so Jesus spent time going in and out of the temple and in the temple, and this guy didn't get healed. Why didn't Jesus heal him? Well, because it wasn't time yet. But what happened to this guy eventually was that what? Jesus healed him. Jesus did heal him. But Jesus did it in such a way that it would be clear that he is now at work as the risen Lord who inhabits his people. The timing was God's timing. They asked Jesus about the miracles that he did, and he said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. They asked Jesus, where do you get the authority to say these things that you say? He says, I just say what the Father tells me to say. The reason Jesus had such perfect power and authority is because of his obedience to the Father. And the reason why the apostles were able to manifest the power of God as they did is because, as it says at the end of our lesson this morning, judge for yourselves whether it's right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. They were obedient to the Father. They did what God told them to do. And when God told them to speak to this man and pronounce healing, they obeyed. And the consequence was a miraculous healing because of an obedient faith. So, the risen Christ is still at work through the obedience of his people. Secondly, the apostolic message clearly confronts the listeners with the seriousness of their sin, but at the same time invites them to receive the manifold grace of God. On the one hand, we would say that Peter's preaching was a bit confrontational. Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? This is verse 12 of chapter 3. Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life. Would you say that's kind of confrontational? Well, but I think if we could just be more Christ-like. Oh, and say, you are not children of God. You are sons of your father, the devil. You are whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones, filthy on the inside. That kind of Christ-like? Well, no, that wasn't what I had in mind. The fact of the matter is, if we're going to love people, we've got to speak the truth in love. Because Peter confronted these people full force, but he didn't stop there. Look at what he says. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We're witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he'd foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. In other words, he set their sin and the events that had taken place in the context of God's word. This is what has happened, but this is how you can see that it was the fulfillment of the purposes of a sovereign God. God was at work even through your sin. God was accomplishing good through what you did wrong. Repent then, verse 19. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. The times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who's been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from among his people. He says, repent, turn, and you can receive blessing. But if you do not turn, God says you will be cut off. That's strong. But it still offers hope. This is not a message of condemnation. He says the Messiah came and you killed him and now you're being given an opportunity to repent. That's amazing. Why would God offer an opportunity to repent for people who were directly involved in the slaughter of his son? Why? Because he came to save sinners. There was a purpose in his death. His death was in order that people like us who do not deserve salvation might receive it. This is not a message of hope for good people, because there aren't any. This is a message of hope for people like us. People who have messed up. And God says, yes, I sent my son for you. I sent my son to save sinners. That's good news. But anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from among his people. Indeed, all the prophets from Samuel on, as many as have spoken and foretold these days, and you are heirs of the prophets and the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples on the earth will be blessed. And when God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning you, each of you, from his wicked ways. What is the blessing? The blessing is repentance. The blessing is that you don't keep on going in a way that is destructive. God doesn't just offer forgiveness. He offers a new life. And this new life means that I no longer am a slave to sin. I don't have to keep doing the same stuff over and over and over and over and over and saying, well, but God forgives. God does forgive. He forgives those who are in Christ Jesus. And those who are in Christ Jesus still have to confess that from time to time we sin, but we do not practice sin. We do not live in sin. It is not our life, our way of life. And that blessing of salvation is found in no one else. Verse 12 of chapter 4. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. The offer of salvation is made to the vilest offenders. That is amazing. The last point is that nothing must deter us from obedience to God's command that we spread the gospel. Peter and John are called back in and they are threatened. You must stop preaching this. You must stop telling people this. You can't keep saying these things. We command you not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we've seen and heard. So after that response, the religious leaders made further threats and then let them go. And what did they do? Well, if you read the next section, they went and gave thanks to God and prayed that God would give them courage to continue to speak the word with great boldness. Why? Because they were determined to obey the commission that God had given them. Folks, it's been almost 2,000 years since these events took place. But things really haven't changed in terms of the essentials. Jesus Christ is still alive and he is still at work and prayers are being answered and miracles do happen. And people are still being given the opportunity, no matter what they've done, to come in repentance and faith and receive new life in Christ Jesus. And you and I are still commissioned by God to take the good news to the whole world in Jesus' name.
We hope you are blessed by Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. We would like to get to know you better and hope you will take a short survey at pastorwood.org. It will only take a minute or two. Every week, we will draw a few names from those listeners who take this survey. They will be offered a free book of their choosing that is listed at pastorwood.org. We truly hope all our listeners will take this survey. Please visit our website at pastorwood.org and take our survey today.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.